We are live at the John Paul Jones Arena in Charlottesville, Virginia. Virginia with a 61-55 win over Vermont. Chris Graham, Scott German. And we're going to recap things for you here. And Scott, it was as tight as we expected. And Virginia overcoming an incredible shooting performance for a good part of this game. Anthony Lamb with a game-high 30 points for Vermont, 30 of Vermont's 55 points. But in the last 5:25, held scoreless. And Virginia, even though they give up 55 points, which seems like a lot for this Virginia team, the defense in the last 5 minutes keys this win for UVA.
It certainly does. A great win over Purdue, or excuse me, Vermont.
Purdue, yeah. Carson Edwards, I mean Anthony Lamb.
You know, I went to go to get some water after the game, and I heard a fan say, leaving the arena, boy, we sure have a lot of questions to be answered. Well, in a way we do, but we had some more answers tonight, in my opinion, because this was the first team that we really have faced all season in the early season. That's really a good offensive team.
Yeah.
And we wondered pregame, can we beat a team that's a good offensive team if we still aren't shooting well? Well, this is a good team, and we responded. We still played a very good defensive game, and our shooting actually improved tonight as well. We shot nearly 47% from the floor.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think we had a few more. I think we had a few more questions answered tonight than we did unanswered. And if you look at the landscape of college basketball, there's a lot of teams that's got a lot of unanswered questions at this point in the season.
You know, Anthony Lamb, we talked about, he's their leading scorer, averaging 18.2 points per game coming in. He was just one for his first six from the floor. He hit a three at the buzzer at the half to make it 24-18. That started his hot streak. He went 9-for-12 until that 5:25 mark of the second half. And let's see, six of them were threes in the second half. He was 6 of 9 from three. It just seemed, I mean, he would get across half court and just kind of throw it towards the rim and it would go in. It was a very Carson Edwards-like performance from Lamb. And Scott, I didn't disagree with you. It's almost like maybe we should be doing some like live analysis here. I was trying to tweet and keep up, but Scott at one point, and I didn't disagree at all, we're getting in a shooting contest with this good shooting Vermont team. We're not going to win this game. And I tweeted to the effect, so on top of that, I tweeted to the effect, you know, this Virginia team, in previous years, you would have at that point when Virginia's down, because when Lamb was in that hot streak, Vermont took a lead. Virginia led by 10 in the first half. Vermont took the lead and led for a good portion of the second half. Previous Virginia teams had a Malcolm Brogdon, they had a DeAndre Hunter, a Ty Jerome, a Kyle Guy, or Joe Harris, that would step up and say, "Give me the ball. I'm going to do something with it." We were waiting to see who would be that guy for this Virginia team. And in fact, it was two guys, Mamadi Diakite, T.A. Clark. Diakite, 19 points, Clark, 15 points. Those two guys stepped up and took things over in the second half offensively.
Yeah, and
Brad shows
how much, and T as well. Shows how much we know, because we said if we get into a shooting match with this team, we may not win. Well, we ended up actually at one point making nine of 10 free field goals.
Yes, yes.
So we ended up shooting was sort of contagious. I think that our go-to guy is maybe a two- or three-headed monster this year.
Yeah, we were 14 of 27 from the field in the second half in this game, and my quick math says 51 or 52%. I don't have that number right in front of me, but that would be over 50% from the field for a team that has not been shooting well from the field. 5 of 11 from three-point range in the second half for a team that had been shooting 20% from three-point range for the season. On the game, 8 of 23, 34.8%. So, you know, nothing to brag about. These would be bad numbers for last year's team, but this isn't last year's team. This is this year's team. And, for a second, let's take this out to the greater college basketball landscape. We were talking about this before the game, Scott, down in the media room. You know, Virginia's number 6 in the coaches' poll this week. There are 4 ACC teams in the top 6. Duke is number 1, Louisville number 2, Carolina number 4, Virginia number 6. None of those teams are – well, Louisville's better than they were last year, because Louisville last year was a fringe NCAA tournament team. But Duke is number 1. They're nothing like last year's Duke team. Carolina's number 4. They're nothing like last year's Carolina team. This Virginia team at number 6, nothing like Virginia's team last year. Kentucky's lost at home to Evansville, who was picked 8th in the Missouri Valley Conference. We've already had Michigan State lose a game this year. There's really nobody dominant in college basketball. I don't really see anybody becoming dominant in college basketball like last year when we saw the Duke team get all that acclaim. Virginia only lose 3 games in the season. And so This Virginia team, with this win over a good Vermont team, they won 27 games each of the last 2 years. They just beat St. John's this past weekend. This Virginia win is a good Virginia win for a Virginia team that, you know, I know we came into the season, Scott, you and I talked about this. I don't think we had a great expectations for this Virginia team after last season. We're looking at a banner hanging up here. I don't know, Scott. This team that won this game can maybe do something in March.
I think, listening to you talk, I think what I'm seeing is that having watched considerable amount of basketball so far in the early season, there's a lot of teams still trying to find themselves. We're just fine-tuning ourselves.
Yes, yes.
We know who we are.
We know who we are, yeah.
And we're going to get better offensively. We saw, you can mark this down, November 19th. I think tonight marked the start of Casey Marcel starting to show his athletics, his ability offensively.
Pull up the split box stats there.
He was not, if you look at his stats tonight, they weren't great. They're not going to jump out at you. He was
1 for 6 from the field.
1 for 6, but he wasn't hesitant to take shots.
And his misses were pretty good. Yeah.
Sunday against Columbia, he passed up open shots.
Yeah.
Tonight, they were just a little off, a little wrong, but he was confident. And the biggest play of the night maybe was the defensive play that he got a high five from Coach Bennett. That, you can't tell me, does not build confidence.
Well, we got two of the co-authors of the book Team of Destiny sitting here right now. One of the stories in that book was about how Kihei Clark last December, a snow game. You were here. I was not here. VCU, that freak December snowstorm game on a Sunday. Kihei Clark, that personal one, the one-man 10-second violation, and Tony Bennett went and gave him a high five, and players up and down talked about how they'd never seen Coach Bennett that excited. We saw it tonight when Marcel calls that turnover. That was part of a stretch over a minute and 30-second period. Three straight turnovers by Vermont when this game was up in the air.
The game was on the line.
And Marcel calls a turnover at midcourt, and Tony Bennett went and slapped him, gave him a high five. You know, so now we've seen that twice in 11 years.
It may have been his Kihei Clark moment.
It was his Kihei Clark moment, and that's why Marcel's playing. He played tonight, looking at the numbers, 28 minutes. Came off the bench and played 28 minutes. And he's in there because he plays defense that well as a freshman, a true freshman. He's already picked up the nuances of this pack line defense. His offense will get better. Thomas Bolden Tensai's offense, he was 1 for 7 tonight, played 27 minutes. His defense for a JUCO transfer, his defense is keeping him on the floor. Those two guys will be better offensively, but they're already good enough defensively to play 28 and 27 minutes in a game against this Vermont team. Again, I'm not overselling this Vermont team. 27 wins last year, 27 wins 2 years ago, 29 wins 3 years ago. Preseason number one in the America East. There's a program called UMBC that plays in that conference. This is a team that wins games. They played Florida State in the NCAA tournament last year, played into the last 2 minutes, lost by 7. Florida State was the last team to beat Virginia last year. 6 days before they beat Virginia, they struggled with this Vermont team. Key guys on this Vermont team that we play tonight, back on this Vermont team tonight. We're playing without half the guys that won the national championship. And this Virginia team, to win this game, don't sleep on us. Those fans, Scott, that you heard talking about how we have a lot of questions to answer, they're looking at Vermont. They're looking at the name brand and saying, Vermont is not a good program. They're a small conference. We should have beat them by a lot more points. This was a good win for Virginia.
Vermont would win more than a handful of games in the ACC.
They would, yeah.
But trust me, they would be 6, 7, 8 win team in the ACC. We haven't talked about minutes, which I think we should, because we were playing down tonight. A man, Statman, Cody Statman, was not in the game. Was not dressed tonight. I'm assuming it was an illness. So you had a lot of it. We had six players. We had six players play at least 28 minutes. We had four players play 30 minutes and above. You know, we talked about it during the game. Jay Huff never played a 30-minute game last year.
Yeah.
And, you know, he really didn't show any fatigue down the stretch. He missed a free throw, yeah, but, you know, he still came on down the stretch. He finished with 9 points at 1 point late in the game. He had 2 points.
Yeah.
And we were commenting, he really isn't doing anything.
And then all of a sudden he did.
All of a sudden he did at a time where we were concerned that he may be gassed.
Yeah. Yeah, down the stretch, I have to look at this, and we'll have this in our post-game coverage and on the stories on Augusta Free Press. But down the stretch, yeah, he had some big points, big rebounds. 9.7 rebounds, 32 minutes for him. Good defense out there. Mamadou Diakite, 19 points, 8 of 15 from the floor, 3 of 3 from three-point range. Diakite has really extended his game since that dalliance with the NBA draft. He's really extended his game. And he hit a big three when we were down. When we were talking up here about somebody's got to step up, he hit a three that tied the game, and that was a big three for him. Clark, 15 points, 5 of 7 from the floor, 3 of 4 from 3, 4 assists, 2 turnovers, 32 minutes. Braxton Key, 14 points, 4 of 7 from the floor, 6 rebounds, 38 minutes for Braxton Key. So you look at those numbers, the big four. Last year it was a big three. This year it's a big four. Those are the four guys you need to produce for you night in and night out. We'll get contributions from Bolden Tensai. We'll get contributions from Norcell. We'll eventually get contributions from Cody Statman when he's available. We beat a team tonight that shot 12 of 34 from three-point range. At one point they were 12 of 28. They missed their last six. Lamb was eventually he was 10 of 21. He missed his last three, and he had two turnovers in the last 5-25. He was 7 of 11 from 3 at one point in this game. We beat a hot-shooting team with a guy who, I mean, if you saw the game, and I'm sure you did if you're watching this right now, if you saw the game, they weren't running plays for him. They were just giving him the ball, and he was just shooting it and making it. That was Carson Edwards-like. They beat a team with a guy that hot. That's the second time in 8 months that we beat a team with a guy shooting lights out.
I commented at one time the Lamb was at least 7 feet behind the new three-point line.
Yeah.
And Braxton was out guarding him.
Yeah.
So when's the last time you saw someone actually
face guarding someone
that's 7 foot behind? So he was what, 34 feet from the basket?
Yeah.
And you got a player guarding him. He was red hot. He cooled off.
0 for 3 in the last 5-25 with two turnovers. And so, yeah, that's, again, when a guy has 30 points, he's making everything he throws at the rim for about a 15-minute stretch of the game. And you can say the defense wins you the game. It's because it did, because they had 49 points with 5:25 to go. They scored six, and two of those were at the buzzer, a just sort of gimme, as Virginia had an 8-point lead as the clock was running out. So the Virginia defense, when it needed to, won this game for Virginia.
So this, to me, this game, in my mind, and I'm going to ask you this question. Was there ever a point in the offseason, preseason, that you ever wondered if we were really, as a program, going to have to start over?
Start over?
Meaning everyone's going to have to learn their roles. We were going to have to learn who we were, our identity.
Yeah, yeah.
This game, to me, proved we're not starting over.
Yeah.
We may not be picking up where we left off in Minneapolis last year. I'm not going that far to say that. But this team knows who they are. And the shooting will eventually catch up. But we're not going to lose games just because we don't know who we are. We would have lost this game had we not had our identity. We knew who we were, and we played to our identity tonight. And instead of suffering one of those head-scratching losses like Kentucky's loss, like Michigan's loss, like Kentucky almost lost again last night, we're still perfect, and we go on. We're not starting over. We're just sort of fine-tuning our identity.
That's an excellent point. You know, the first game of the season, the game at Syracuse, the 48-34 win, that game was not really close in the last 17, 18 minutes of the game. Virginia
that game was much – the score wasn't indicative of the lopsided.
Right, yeah. It was a 14-point win, but Syracuse never – in the last 12 minutes was never really in that game. Tonight, this felt like the final score was 61-55, so it was different in terms of the Purdue game was 80-75 in overtime. But in the Syracuse game, nobody on their team got hot from the field. Tonight we had a guy go absolutely bonkers, and Virginia.
He went Carson Edwards.
He went Carson Edwards, and they took the lead, and by all rights should have won this game. When a guy is that hot for an extended period like that, you should win the game against him. But what Virginia did, just like in that Purdue game, you know, what people thought about Virginia before March of last year, was that the only way Virginia wins games, big games like, you know, or tough games like this, is they out-defend. Tonight, the offense stepped up. Diakite hit a big shot. He hit a couple of big shots. Clark hit a couple of big shots. The offense went 9 for 10 from the field during that stretch when they were playing great defense.
Jay Huff was Jay Huff.
Jay Huff was – so, yeah, I would say that, you know, the Syracuse game, Virginia won in spite of playing horrible game-wide on offense. Second half of this game, 14 of 27, 51.9%, 5 of 11 from 3, and played great defense in the last 5 minutes. So, yeah, I would agree with you, Scott. And they found an identity tonight.
This game, to me, is much more confidence-building, much more impressive than the Syracuse game.
I think so.
Because there was nothing about Syracuse that gave me the impression that they were going to be a good team. Vermont has got some good players. They're going to be an NCAA tournament team.
Yes, they are.
They may go a couple of rounds in the NCAA tournament. They're going to get better. This is a confidence builder for them.
Yeah.
So this is really a win-win situation for both teams.
Yeah.
We're 4-0. This is by far the most impressive of those four wins.
I would agree. This is a defining win for this young team. If you want to say young team, it's a new team, and it's a defining win for this new team. So. The next game for Virginia is awkward for all of us Virginia folks who follow Virginia sports. The basketball team plays UMass on Saturday at noon. Also Saturday at noon is Virginia Liberty football. And so we will be in the press box at Scott Stadium covering that game instead of up at Mohegan Sun where we should be while watching basketball and then gambling half the night away. So we will not be able to give you the coverage of that game that we would love to give you. But you can rest assured that we'll have, let's see, between the two of us, we'll have two eyes on the football game. We'll have two eyes on our phones on the basketball game. And we will bring Sunday, of course, they play either Arizona State or St. John's. We don't know who that will be. But UMass on Saturday, we'll get you ready for that game. We'll get you ready for UVA Liberty. And so we have a lot coming up this weekend. And, of course, the next couple of weeks of Virginia sports should be very interesting with the two basketball games, UVA Liberty football, UVA Virginia Tech football to get you ready for next week. Also basketball next week with Maine here at home.
4 o'clock.
A 4 o'clock tip, and I will be in Richmond watching Hamilton, which I would love to do. I didn't have to miss tonight, so thanks to Crystal Graham for I would say thanks to Crystal Graham, but she's not feeling well. That's why I'm here instead of at a concert. So hopefully Crystal Graham's feeling well. And hopefully everybody out there can rest assured this was a good win. We don't have to convince you that. Come back off the ledge.
If I was never on the ledge, no one should ever be on it.
This guy's on lots of ledges.
Never on the ledge.
He was never on the ledge tonight. Nope. So thanks to you. Thanks to everybody out there. And we will have more coverage on Augusta Free Press throughout the night. Until then, have a great night, everybody.